medium distance feeder with a far distance feeder placed 87 meters away from the nest entrance. Now, in our final experiment, we wanted to make sure that the tunnel actually was having an effect on information that was being communicated to recruits. In this case, we trained our marked trained foragers to visit a feeder that was inside of a white box whose only entrance was a small hole on the back side. Foragers had to approach the front of the box, come around the back side, and go through the hole in order to access the feeder. This was because we wanted to try to prevent recruits from following experienced foragers, if that may have been happening. We also wanted to control for local enhancement. That's a situation where bees will favor a feeder that already has other bees on it. So in this case, we kept an open, unbaffled feeder at 6 meters, and again, we had our medium distance feeder at 60 meters. Our results, I'm happy to say, were very compelling. In our first experiment, we found that recruits do indeed go to the exaggerated fictive distance. You can see here that the medium distance feeder at 60 meters received almost all of the recruits. Likewise, you can see that marked bees never visited this feeder, and recruits never went inside the tunnel. This is very strong evidence that the recruits are acting on information inside the nest. You can also see that recruits had to fly over the nearby feeder in order to access the medium distance feeder, but they didn't stop to visit it. So this is good evidence that they're receiving exaggerated information and then acting upon it. In our second experiment, we found that, again, the medium distance feeder was the one that was favored. This tells us that the information recruits are receiving from tunnel foragers inside the nest is most likely a 10 times exaggeration of the actual distance the tunnel feeder was from the nest entrance. So this is just a little interesting to show you the quantity of displacement that the bees are experiencing. And finally, thankfully, we found that the tunnel does have a strong effect on information that the recruits are receiving inside the nest. So here you can see that while our marked bees were the ones that predominantly visited the baffled feeder, they were then returning to the nest and communicating a distance that was much, much shorter than when they were foraging inside the tunnel. So you can see here that it was the 6-meter feeder that received the majority of the recruits. So overall, this is the best evidence yet that, that a stingless bee species, Melipona panamica, referentially communicates resource distance. However, while this is so interesting, it leaves open some unanswered questions. First off, we want to know what the nest behaviors are of tunnel and outside foraging bees and their recruits. It would be very compelling to see if foragers who travel inside the tunnel alter those sound pulses they produce as opposed to when they forage outside of the tunnel. Also, is height information referentially communicated? Now, the second question is one that we've already started to answer. We have constructed a tunnel on BCI that's a bit more analogous in its proportions to actual distances a bee would travel in the forest environment. This tunnel is 25 meters in length and is suspended from one of the canopy towers on BCI. We intend to use this setup to demonstrate not only that Melipona can use optic flow to measure distance, which has never been, shown before, but also that they can then referentially communicate that information, which is also something that's never been tested. So hopefully by this time next year, I'll have some interesting results to show you from this experiment. So thank you very much for your attention. Anyone?
I have a question.
Yes.
how many juveniles did you use for your experiment? How many?
The question was how many tunnels we used for the experiment. We had 2 tunnels that we would switch in and out to try to control for a buildup of odor marking. We didn't know if that would have any sort of effect on foragers, but we wanted to make sure that odors weren't leaching out of the tunnel and attracting recruits or causing them to forage closer than they actually should. The question was how many nests. This data is from 2 different colonies. We currently have a group who are working on 4 additional colonies, and the preliminary data matches up with what I showed you here today. So this looks like it's a trend that's consistent across all colonies. Yes?
So what was the variation? Were they found that
There was, yes, there was, the question was how much variation there was among behaviors of recruits. And the, to answer your question, there was very little variation. They were very consistent in their approaches to the feeder. They'd come, we'd capture them if they were at one of the experimental feeders, and they were very consistent in their behaviors inside the tunnel. So the data set was actually what you see is what you get. It was very, very tight.
Do you know what they're using to indicate the distance? What behaviors are there?
The question was what behaviors they're using to indicate distance. There's a component of those of the movements that a forager makes when they return to the nest that's accompanied by certain sound pulses, and you can pick out which sound pulses to look at by what the behavior of the forager is, or by what the forager experiment before, though. That's what we intend to look at, to see if the tunnel affects the length of those sound pulses.
Yeah, so I'll be talking about the bacteria that we found inside of these bees. And everybody knows that colony collapse got taken up by the media earlier this year, and it made its way into the popular press also, and inspiring this t-shirt that you could even buy on the internet. But I was more interested, or the group of people that worked with us were more interested in the cause of colony collapse disorder, especially I was interested in if bacteria were involved with this. And I guess the main question is, why were we interested in the bacteria? And first of all, there are several bacterial species that are known pathogens of honeybees. American foul brood caused by Panobacillus larvae and European foul brood caused by Melissococcus plotone in particular. And also there was the observation that combs that housed previously colony collapse disordering bees, that when they were irradiated they could be repopulated by naive bees successfully, which possibly indicated that some type of infectious agent was the cause. So a metagenomic survey was performed in which RNA was extracted from sick bees as well as healthy bees, and then using PyRa sequencing with 454 technology, this RNA was sequenced into short reads about 300 base pairs long. The RNA extracted from most organisms is ribosomal RNA, which makes this technique an ideal for identifying different bacterial types, because the main molecule used for identifying bacterial species is the 16S subunit of the ribosomal RNA. And so with this 454 technology, and you get these 300 base pair raw reads, you have to assemble these into contigs. And so with these short reads outlined here in the blue lines and the contig in the red line, you can create these larger, you can use the raw reads to create a larger piece of DNA that can then be used to see what kind of organisms you have in there. And after doing this, 48 of these contigs matched bacterial 16S sequences. And these contigs were made up of many different reads. It's a really large database of sequences. And when we searched these things, we found that these types of bacteria had top hits that were only from three different papers in all of GenBank, and hit only about a cross-section of about 37 different sequences out of the 75 million sequences. And when you looked at the sequence similarity on these blast hits, you found that within these papers they were about 98 to 100% similarity, but when you looked at the next best blast hit after this that was from somewhere else in the environment, you found that it dropped off to between 95 or below sequence similarity. And this is below the 97% cutoff for a bacterial sequence that's generally used in microbiology studies, indicating that these are truly different types and species of bacteria that we have inside of bees. And these three papers that these sequences were matching, when we looked at those, they were these three studies. Jaya Prakash in 2003 found these bacteria in South Africa in Apis mellifera, capensis and scutellata subspecies. More in Teb in 2006 found these same bacteria in Germany in Apis mellifera carnica. And Babendreyer et al. 2006 found these same bacteria in Switzerland with Apis mellifera mellifera. And when you put this onto a map, you can see that this is a truly worldwide phenomenon between these bacteria and these bees. They're really in an association, and inferring that there's some type of stable bacterial community inside of these honeybees' guts. To make sure that, to get a little bit more evidence about this association, I searched the bee genome that came out last year with some Perl computer programming and some BLAST algorithms, and found that there was 926 sequences that had top hits to bacteria. And this is, their top hit was to bacteria, but then they also followed a few other criteria that I had to specify to make sure that these were actually good hits and good sequences. But